You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
This morning, our words of wisdom are from the book of Matthew. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here at the Fountains once again. It's been 2 weeks. Well, one concern that I have for this morning would be that something that's very close to my heart is we have around 126 people, 27 people, on Arizona's condemned row. For those of you that were not here the last time when I was here, maybe don't know, I am a state prison chaplain. And so just if you could hold those men and one female, one woman, up in prayer on a regular basis, they are the least among us, for sure. And on the 23rd, we will be sending one to, they get their choice in this state. They can pick the gas chamber or lethal injection. And so he hasn't picked yet. So if you could keep them in your prayers, they need your prayers. I work on a low-risk yard at my unit, and with 1,400 inmates, all men. And one of the things that I started there was a lectionary at lunch time. I generally preach off the lectionary when I go and visit churches on Sunday. And so for those of you that don't know, that's a selected grouping of text that if you follow for 3 years, you'll cover a lot of first year's A, which you cover, which we're in now, which you cover a lot of Matthew. B, it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John is interspersed in those gospel readings. And there's also an Old Testament or Hebrew Bible reading with an epistle thrown in there as well, with an appointed psalm as well. So this happens to be the gospel for today. So I started a lectionary at lunch group with a grouping of my guys. Lots of evangelical type fundamentalism in our prison system, our correctional, among our incarcerated men, which tends to kind of be common in all correctional systems. Side note. So about 6-7 guys have been coming to my lectionary at lunchtime, most of which happen to identify, this is the group that I get along with best, most of which identify as Buddhist, which is kind of interesting. So what we do is we do this lectionary time. We read the Hebrew Bible reading. We read the psalm. We read the epistle. And then we'll take some time and do what we call lectio divina with the gospel reading. So that's just a kind of a I think lectio really means sacred reading. So we'll take some time and just be with that gospel reading or one of the other readings, kind of whatever floats our boat. I let them pick and we go to it. And we normally read that reading three times and just let it settle. And we sit in the silence, or as much silence as the system will allow us. So hoping that the radio doesn't go off or the alarm doesn't go off. Prisons are a very noisy place. And so we read, we prayed this gospel this last week. And I had an entirely different sermon in mind with this gospel, but I asked these men at the end of doing the lectio with this reading, what would you preach about? What do you think this gospel, what do you think Matthew is saying in this gospel? And some of the things that I received surprised me. Led us into an entire discussion on zombies. How's that? And so I chimed in. That's sometimes my problem. Preachers like to talk. Sometimes all we need to do is listen. So I chimed in and I said, oh, like people outside, you know, being zombies. You know, sometimes I see people in a cafe together. I did this morning at Starbucks. Two people together. What are they doing? One's on her cell phone and one's on the iPad, ignoring each other. And I said, well, what do you mean by zombies? You know, what do you mean by zombies in this place? And they said, well, you know, it's easy to kind of focus on the schedule and get bogged down and worry, what am I going to do when I get out? What's going to be for my next meal? Who is going to shank me on the yard? You know, sometimes it's fear-based. And we just live our programs. Yeah, everyone has a program. It's typically ego-centered. It's what I tend to notice. And that happens in the prison as well, to folks that are incarcerated. They're just living their programs. Maybe that's all we can do, is live our program. I'm sure that's all they can do, living in that system. They found it interesting with the children comment at the beginning of the reading, where we hear that they played and they did not dance. Well, I looked that up, and apparently there was a Hebrew or an old Jewish game at that time where children would take sides. They'd split up, and some of them would either pretend like they were playing. That's where that whole idea of the flute comes from. And some would sing. And then the other group, depending on what they were either singing or playing, would have to dance accordingly. So if it was sad music, they'd dance sad. If it was exciting music, they would be excited. And so talking about that, the guys really seemed to say, well, that's what we do. That's what we do in life. We just dance to the beat of the drum. We live our own programs. We do what we're supposed to do. We check our emails. We live our program. It was fascinating when I brought up the idea of an iPad. Many of these guys have been incarcerated for a very long time. One gentleman didn't really know what an iPad was. And that led us into an entire other conversation about banking. And I said, well, I do all of my banking online. And they were all amazed by this. Well, what do you mean, online? And I said, well, I just log into my bank account and I get direct deposit and my check's just there. I pay all of my bills online. My bank is Capital One 360, and I don't even have a location to go to. And they were just amazed, shocked by that. And then we talked about the grocery store. I said, I go to the grocery store, and I always do self-checkout. And they said, well, what's self-checkout? And I said, well, self-checkout's where you go, and there's a machine there, and you scan all of your own stuff. And none of them had ever heard of self-checkout. And this one gentleman who is 3 months to the gate, that's what they say when they're going to get out. They're 3 months to the gate. He said, here, I've lived and I've been transformed in this place. And I have friends, small group of friends, and I'm scared. And I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here with my friends, where I know my schedule and I can live the program. He's scared to death. He said, where am I going to go? You know, I talked to my wife and she says, you know, I hear all of your conversation about what you're doing there and just, you know, not hate to break it to you, but it's going to be totally different when you get out. So he's really concerned about what this is when he gets out. And so he shared this in the context of this gospel reading. And one of the things that came up was, you know, we spend a lot of time in our lives labeling. You know, I think that for me, the Gospel of Matthew was really authored for two different types, or addressing two different types of people. People carrying the burden of poverty, as well as, because most of us are not carrying the burden of poverty, let's face it, as well as those burdened by legalism. The burden of legalism. So they said, well, that's the same thing that we encounter in prison. We just fall into that program. And we may be poor, but we're legalistic still. So what do I mean by legalism? You know, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ today? Well, it means the same that it did when Matthew was writing. It means getting beyond that legalism. So what do I mean by getting beyond that legalism? I mean to not judge. You know, we constantly live that program of judging, that program of defining, being very dualistic, you know, in the context of who's in and who's out. They do that in prison too, surprisingly. This group's in. This guy's white, he's in my group. This guy's black, he's in our group. Who's in, who's out? Labeling, you know, we like to label. Republican, Democrat, white, black, poor, rich, citizen, illegal. We also love to shame. That happens in prison too. We also like to project. We do that in our families, don't we? We love to project our fears. So what this gentleman kind of worked himself through in our little lectionary group was the idea that instead we need to be vulnerable to one another. He said that's the key that I have recognized in this group in prison, in his little Buddhist group. He said that's the key that I found. I've become vulnerable to someone else. vulnerable to each other, where he's able now to share his heavy load, his heavy burden in the context of that small group. Now, I, of course, being a Christian, say, well, he's sharing the heavy load with Christ. And for me, that's what this gospel is all about. That's what the message of Jesus was so often about. And it really is the lighter path to stop shaming, stop judging, stop labeling who's in and who's out. Gay, straight. I can go on and on and on, especially in the prison context. So something kind of awakened in this gentleman as we talked, and he said, I don't know where I'm going to find a group like this and this support on the other side of the gate. He said, but I think I will find it by not experiencing this, but by being this for others. And I've experienced that too as a chaplain, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, that sometimes, most of the time, it's something very easy that we just need to do, and that is let go, listen, become vulnerable to one another, vulnerable to others' fears. And so, I think that's what this gospel's about, and that's why I said practicing mindfulness, Jesus style. Because so often it's just about letting go of our ego, letting go of those programs that we continuously run, which is very easy to do. And just be fully present to the other, to listen, to become aware of another's hurts. There's a long football field. It's essentially a football field, and that's the yard in my unit. And my office is all the way across this football field, so I have to walk across this yard. Anytime I have to leave, anytime I'm going to my office, coming back, and there's gates, and there's security, and there's all of this stuff. And sometimes I find myself just hoping, praying, that no one will stop me and ask me anything as I walk across that yard, especially in the morning, just let me get to my office, get settled in, and just be. But what this inmate is saying this gospel is about, is that maybe what it's about to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, maybe what it's about, instead of getting across that yard or getting to lunch or getting my coffee in the morning, is just being fully active and aware of what and who is around us and listening to them and being vulnerable to them. So I'll close with this is kind of what our small group worked on, and they wanted me to share. They said, for this is the easiest thing, being present, being vulnerable, being fully aware. This is the easiest thing one can do, and this is finding rest in this timeless, living presence that we call Christ. They said that I call Christ since they're Buddhist. This is a metaphor for eternity with and in us, where we begin to step into the place inside. The place inside that is freedom, where we become the sons and daughters of God. So they said, this gospel starts with just being. So I would invite you this week to just be. I have a cat named Iona. And I like to watch her because she just enjoys being. You know, cats are so wonderful that way, for those of you that are cat people. And I think they're a very practical reminder that sometimes that's all we have to do. Dogs too. Just be present. She hears the garage door go up and she'll run to the door thinking that daddy's home. Sometimes she suns herself by the window. Sometimes she'll sit at the window and she'll just watch the birds. That's peaceful. I don't know what she'd do if she was outside. But sometimes, maybe that's all we have to do, is just be. And let go of that judging and that shaming and all of those things that we do as human beings. Just let go and rest in God's peace. Rest in that security. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.